Hello, everyone. How's it going? Queen's Club time. All right. Y'all come in and say hi. Let me just change my name just for the heck of it. I'm assuming y'all know me, but now that we can do this, look, there's my name. All right. Come in and say hi. Make sure you can hear me, and then we'll get started. Thank you, Trish. Hi, Stacy. Yeah, Queen's Club. Holla. Why don't y'all put in, just for shits and giggles, why don't y'all put in how much weight you've lost to get into Queen's Club and just since then? I would love to hear that. 59.6. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. All right, y'all, let's get started. I'm going to share my screen. Let me see how this is going to work. It's always an interesting little experiment. Let's say chat. Oh, good. Okay, I can see the chat. So I want to be able to do that. And then let's see, I'm going to play the slideshow. All right. So this was the weird thing. Like, I can't see my mouse when I have the slideshow on. Okay, y'all, let me know if you can see a screen. Oops, that says Queen's Club Masterclass. Routines for success. All righty. Okay, we're going to see how this goes. And I think maybe you can see me up at the top, maybe, or a little little video of me. Okay. All right, so we're going to get started. So, as you all know, you're doing time management this month, which has been amazing. I love all that kind of stuff. As much as Corinne. Corinne is a little bit farther along than I am in terms of, you know, how she manages her time. But I am all, it's always something that I'm working on. It's always something that I'm improving on. And I'll let you all know kind of where I am with all of my time management. But I specifically wanted to talk about routines tonight with y'all, with the Queen's Club. Because, oh, congratulations, Carrie. First day in Queen's Club. Awesome. Sorry, y'all, squirrel. Because I just have some routines, and I'm actually going to change the name. I love to use the word rituals instead of routines, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I have some rituals that I practice, and when I say practice, that means that I do not do them perfectly all the time, but that I practice on a daily basis that I wanted to share with you all. And so, and just let you all know, kind of just add some more tools to your tool belt, right? And just see if they might work for you. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So what will you learn? All right. So first off, we're going to, as always, I always like to start with the model, right? I always like to start with our thoughts, because we can get into all kinds of routines, all kinds of rituals, whatever you want to call them. But if your thoughts around time are not in line, if they're not, if you don't have your mind right about time, then all the plans, all the planners, all the worksheets, all the ideas in the world are not going to work if your thoughts are in the pooper, as Corinne likes to say, about time. So we're going to talk about that first, so how to think about time. And then second, we're going to talk about what are routines and why are they important. So we're going to kind of define routines. And then I'm going to talk about kind of why I like to call them rituals, or kind of how rituals are a little bit different than routines. And again, why they're important, and then how, and then the how, right? We're getting to the action line. how to set up rituals in your life. And again, you can call them rituals, you can call them routines, but I'll kind of explain the difference that I see in just a minute. So that's what we're going to do. So at any time, I can only see the chat right now. Y'all can always put questions in the Q&A if you want me to answer questions after it's over with. And probably go ahead and put questions in the Q&A box. And then, I am going to be asking you some stuff, because y'all know I love to kind of get y'all involved in this when I do these workshops. And so I'll have you put some things in the chat and we'll look through them and kind of share them and stuff. Because another thing is that the reason I do that but also the reason that I read out what you all put in the chat is because a lot of people listen to this, through the podcast, right? And through, right? Because, yeah, there's Queen's Club podcast. So, a lot of people aren't watching the video or looking at the screen. So that's why I like to read all that stuff out. So first off, let's get our mind right. So, and here's your first opportunity to kind of participate in the chat. What creates time? What do you all think creates time in your life? And so answer that, and I'll give you just a minute. Because like I said, we first are going to work on our thoughts around time. Our thoughts around time. So what creates time? All right, we got a bunch of answers. Okay, and I don't know how to scroll. See, that's my problem. Okay. Someone said, God, it just is. You can't create it, right? We have 24 hours in the day, right? Someone said, putting your phone away, scheduling well, preparing the day before. Lisa wins the prize. It is our thoughts, right? What creates time is our thoughts. And just like anything else, right? We create our lives. We create the results in our lives through our thoughts. And so if we are thinking, I'm crazy busy, I don't ever have enough time, how am I supposed to find time? I can't find time to do this, that kind of stuff. That is what gives us less time, right? Is our thoughts. But we could also be thinking, this is important to me. You know, I always choose how I spend my time. And specifically thinking about, you know, setting specific routines, morning routines, evening routines, that kind of thing. I want to do this to, you know, improve my relationship with time. Some sort of thought like that, right? What other kind of thoughts would be good to kind of give you the result of more time? And when I say more time, I don't mean more hours in the day, right? There are always just 24 hours in a day. But how we spend our time is how we create time. Because we can spend our time, you know, zoning out on, you know, Netflix and you know, Oreos. Or we can spend our time, you know, doing what we, you know, however we choose, right? But Rebecca says, I have all the time I need to do the things I deem important to me. I love that. That's such an empower, that just feels so empowering to me. So like making habits or making routines, each task takes less effort and is done faster, right? Like really kind of rewiring your brain to think, okay, if I put these systems in place, I can do things faster and easier and better. So I've actually got a model here. So there are 24 hours in a day. How do you want to think about those 24 hours in a day, right? Sonia says, I always have time for things that are important. And I love that. That just really gives the power back to you, right? You're not a victim of those 24 hours. You're not a victim of time. You are always in control about how you spend your time. Always, right? You don't have to go to work. You don't even have to get up out of bed if you don't want to. But we choose, right? We always choose how we spend our time. Okay, so I want y'all to kind of keep this model in mind as we go on. And what I put in the action line is to create routines. because you want to have your mind right. If this is something that you're interested in doing, you want to come from a place of, you know, this is important to me. This is how I think I, you know, how I think I want to move to the next level with taking control of my time. And the feeling may be, you know, curious. Y'all, curious is just one of my very favorite feelings ever, because that just opens up your mind to like, let's just see what happens. And it doesn't have to go perfectly the first time. And that's the way I think of curious as, you know, like those are the thoughts that create curious for me. Let's just see what happens. This could be fun, you know, open, but maybe a little bit uncomfortable too, right? Because you're doing something new. If you don't have a, you know, a routine or a ritual in your life that is working for you right now, you know, changing it up a little bit can be a little bit, you know, uncomfortable at first, and that's okay too, right? So yeah, so the action is to create the routines, and the result is, again, it's got to go back up and prove your thought true. So it depends on what the thought is. But like, let's say it was, you know, this is important to me. That's your thought. Well, then the result is I do things that I think are important, right? And that's a pretty awesome result in my opinion. So, or your thought may be, I always choose how I spend my time. And that may create a feeling of empowerment for you. Your action is create routines. It may be other things, right? Time blocking, all that kind of stuff. And then your result is, I do choose how I spend my time. You know, your result is the same as the thought in that case, where it's just like, yeah, I'm choosing all of this. I'm in control. So again, just keep that model in mind as we keep going forward. Okay, so routines to rituals. So now we're going to talk about what are routines and why are they important. So y'all know I always love to just start with the dictionary. And I like to talk about just kind of, I love to find out about the origins of words and how, where words came from, things like that. And so I started with routines. Routines are defined as a sequence of actions regularly followed, right? So it's just a series of actions that you follow on a regular basis. And, but it comes from the word route, right? Route or route, R-O-U-T-E. It's like a roadmap. Right. And so that was so interesting. I thought, yeah, you could see your routines as a roadmap to getting you the results that you want and to getting you the goals that you're going for. So, so routine comes from the word root. And then I kind of do this thing where, I'll just go ahead and talk to y'all about the Michael Hyatt planner. And that's kind of how I got this whole idea for this workshop. So y'all know that Corinne is real big on the Brendan Burchard planner right now. And of course, a lot of us also use the PNP planner for our food and stuff like that. I really like using the Michael Hyatt Full Focus Planner. So this is it. Michael Hyatt is someone, he actually lives in Nashville. And Corinne and I have been to, and actually the whole team went to one of his workshops last year. And he is just kind of all about productivity and efficiency and leadership and, you know, all kinds of things like that. But he has his own planner. And here's the deal about the planners, y'all. I mean, there is not one be-all, end-all planner, right? Corinne likes the Brendan one. I like this one. It's all about what works for you. And I mean, for you, that literally may be just a little, one of those little notebook, you know, one of those little bitty tiny planners, or, I mean, it just, that is not what, you know, that is the action line of the model, right? The kind of planner that you use. It's all about how you think and feel about time. That creates, again, gives you the results that you want. So, so don't get so hung up on the planners, but I do want to tell y'all what I use and what works for me just because I'm me, right? But, so in the planner, he talks about daily rituals, And again, it's just kind of another word for routine, but I don't know. I just see that word ritual. Sometimes he actually talks about it and he says, you know, it can turn some people off because it's has like a religious connotation or something like that. But I don't know. I just see it as opposed to the word routine. I just see the word ritual as something that is just, you know, I do it because it's just really important to me. And when I kind of connect it to like, from a religious standpoint, it's just like, you know, they have rituals there to kind of, teach people things and to just practice doing the same things over and over again. And that's what a ritual is to me. It's like it's very personal. I don't know. For some reason, I just like, so Rebecca said, Rebecca, a ritual feels like self-care and a sacred practice. Yes, Rebecca. That's kind of where I am. But again, it's just whatever works for you in terms of terminology. But I did look up the word ritual, and it is routine tasks. So it's routines that are on autopilot, that are regularly performed in a set manner. And so I think the ritual word really kind of gets a little bit deeper into this, you know, autopilot, into this, like, you just do it in a set order day after day after day. Sonia says rituals feels like honoring yourself. I love that. Rituals elevate the mundane with conscious intention. Oh my God, Heather, you need to be over here doing this workshop. I'm going to talk about an intention in just a second. Yeah. I almost think that rituals kind of add on that intention piece. Yeah, so exactly. And Angie, you're right along with that. So I love it. I love it. It's like I'm doing this presentation. Just right, y'all are doing it right along with me. So yeah, so that's what I had in my notes is intentional, right? I think rituals kind of elevate routines with intentionality. And I have a really interesting question, and then I'll talk more about the specific rituals in the planner. But I have a question for y'all. Let's see. Yes, I put a slide. A lot of us already have routines or rituals, right? We all do. We all get up in the morning and do something similar. If it's just to get up and pee and brush our teeth and, you know, make coffee or something like that, right? We all have routines or rituals already. But are they intentional, right? And are they getting you the results that you want? That is the big question. Because our brain, I'm going to talk about the brain in just a second, the brain, all the science behind all of this. But our brains are just looking. They are like desperate for us to have rituals in our lives because they just want to be on autopilot, you know, right? That's why it's so hard for us to break habits sometimes. Because our brain just wants to, you know, to have habits, to have routines, to have rituals. And so what is the answer here? So are you all doing your rituals? I'm just going to call them rituals. Are y'all doing your rituals intentionally? You know, are they written down? Are they done intentionally? Or are they just something that you're doing, but maybe you think you could do a little bit more of or a little bit differently. So that's just something to think about as we go through. Okay. Let's see. So why are rituals important? I'm talking about that. I was just talking about that a little bit. It's this whole concept of automaticity. I had to kind of practice saying that. Some of you may have heard about this concept either from Atomic Habits, which is one book that I studied to do this masterclass. Also, there's a section in Bright Line Eating, which is another book that I don't love the actual eating part of eating plan part of the book, but the whole kind of first half of the book talks a lot about it focuses on eliminating sugar and flour. And, you know, that's one thing that we talk about in the tribe, but obviously that's not for everyone. But she also talks about just this whole concept of automaticity and just putting things into automation, like being self-automated in a lot of areas in your life. And so that is what I'm going to talk about here. And that's what rituals are all about, is that you're automating your life. And that's just something that you can kind of think about on a bigger picture, right? And just ask yourself, how can I automate different parts of my life so that so much of my life can be on autopilot, can be automated, and then I can really focus in on what I really want to focus on and to how I really want to spend my time, because this automaticity really does save you time. So yeah, automaticity is a form of self-automation. And obviously we're doing this already with planning our food, right? And making these decisions ahead of time. That's a form of automaticity where our food is decided, you know, first thing in the morning or the night before. And then we're not spending time during the day to decide what to eat. It's all about these decisions ahead of time. So all of this comes from this place in the brain. I'm a psychology major, y'all, so I'm just a geek about brain science and how it works. And I wanted to show y'all where the basal ganglia was. Let's see, where's my book? I have to show y'all this book. I gave away all of my psychology books, you know, years ago from college, but I went onto Amazon and for $6, I got a used cognitive psychology book, and I have just been kind of reading it like a true geek. And so it's just been so fun to kind of revisit all this stuff in college that I was so interested in. That was why I was a psychology major, but it was still college and I still had assignments and homework. And now I just get to read this stuff for fun. So how awesome is that? But anyway, the basal ganglia is the part of the brain that evolved to make certain behaviors automatic. And so the best example of that is breathing, right? Because we breathe without thinking about it. We breathe when we're sleeping, when we're unconscious, you know? And so the basal ganglia really focuses on things that we just do automatically. But we can also build habits and build rituals that we can, you know, learn to do automatically over time. And the best example of that is brushing our teeth, right? And I was thinking about this because there are days every once in a while where I forget to brush my teeth. And I'm like, really? Why? Like, really? And then I started to think about why. And what happens is that I don't do it in the order that I normally do it in, right? Normally I get up, I pee, I brush my teeth, and I go and make my coffee. And then, you know, I go and do my journaling or whatever else that's in my morning ritual. But if for some reason, maybe I am peeing and I'm just sitting there thinking, ooh, that coffee's going to be so good, I'm just going to go brew it, go get it brewing, and then I'll come back and brush my teeth and, you know, and put in my contacts and all that kind of stuff. Well, it never fails that maybe I go in and make my coffee and I see something else and I'm just going to unload the dishwasher real quick, or I need, you know, and I never get back to brushing my teeth. And so that's what happens, is that when you automate something, but then you don't do it in the same way that you always do it, then you find that, you know, it doesn't get done. So again, so brushing your teeth is something, because you think about kids, right? They don't automatically know to brush their teeth when they first get up. And so that's why we know that habits and routines and rituals can be developed over time. And so that basal ganglia is, you know, it's flexible. It's something that isn't set in stone, right? We can always build new automatic things. We can build automaticity over time. So here, I'm just going to read this real quick because it's super interesting. We want to shift behaviors out of the part of the brain where decisions are made, right? That's the prefrontal, prefrontal cortex, which is up here. And so we want to, you know, we want to take as much out of that as possible and just make it autopilot. And we want to move it into the basal ganglia. When there's nothing for the brain to, you know, figure out or make a decision about, it just becomes automatic, right? When we just are not confused about what we need to be doing and it just becomes decided, just like our food plan, then, you know, over time, it really does become automatic. So, and also consistent repetitions makes it automatic, right? Just over time, doing it over and over again, just like, you know, like brushing your teeth or whatever it is, it makes it automatic. And once something becomes automatic, it frees up that prefrontal cortex for, you know, it just frees up all these cognitive resources for other things. And, you know, like for the important stuff, right? I mean, I'd rather spend my time on, you know, creating stuff for y'all and spending time with my husband and, you know, all this stuff, like reading a good book, rather than, you know, deciding what I'm going to eat and, you know, and deciding when I need to brush my teeth or when I need to do my journaling, right? If it's all decided, then it just gets done and I can, you know, work on problem solving when problems come up, right? I can use that, those cognitive resources for that. So, and eventually what's so interesting is that it feels uncomfortable not to do it after something is become automatic, right? It's just so weird how when you get out of your routines, out of your rituals, like if you go on vacation or something like that, it just feels weird, right? And it feels uncomfortable. And so you realize that you've really created, you've automatized a lot of things in your life. So, but you may be asking kind of how long it takes to make something a habit or to make something automated. And there was a study done, I think I read about this in Atomic Habits. And, you know, you hear that it takes like 21 days or something like that to develop a habit, but that's actually not true. They did a study and on average it was 66 days. So if you've been making your, you know, your 24-hour plans for a while now, if you've been making, if you've been doing a morning, you know, morning ritual or whatever it is, you know, just keep doing it, right? Because it's not about the time, it's about how many times you do it, right? And so, and they said, you know, on average it was 66 days, but it went from 18 to 254 days. And so maybe some rituals are going to take longer, but it's just all about just sticking with it and staying with it. And, you know, over time, it will become automatic. So, all right, let's now get into the Michael Hyatt Planner and, again, why I kind of wanted to tell you all about this stuff to begin with. So he covers, and this is the page, I don't think y'all can see it all that well, but this is the page where he has us come up with morning rituals, a morning ritual, a workday startup ritual, an evening ritual, and a workday shutdown ritual. So that's what he's come up with. And this is something, I'm going to talk about this in a second, but I definitely, you know, if this is something y'all are interested in, you want to do, start with one, right? You know, Corinne always says, start small, start with one. Don't try to do all four rituals. But let me just kind of go through each one real quickly and kind of give you the difference. So obviously, morning ritual is, you know, just like Corinne talks about with her morning routine, right? She gets up, she drinks coffee, she journals, she exercises, all that kind of stuff. My morning ritual, and what I love is that it has the activities you list, and then it has the allotted time that you think it's going to take. And so I love making that list and then putting the allotted time. And so you really add up like, okay, how much is this really realistic, right? You get really realistic with yourself and figure out how much time it's, you know, do you really have this much time in the morning to do all this stuff? So what I've got here is go to the bathroom, right, first thing in the morning. Go to the bathroom, put on my contacts, brush my teeth, and take my pills. That I'm giving myself 5 minutes on that. Get dressed, 5 minutes. Workout, that's an hour. That's like driving to the gym, working out, coming home from the gym. Make coffee, 5 minutes. And you can do this in order. I recommend that you do it in the order that you want to do it in. Make coffee, 5 minutes. TDL, read and meditate. Each one of those is 15 minutes. I do my 24-hour plan and assessment. Then I shower and get ready for 45 minutes. I weigh and put that in my Happy Scale app. That's just 2 minutes. And then I also text my accountability partner, and that's just a couple of minutes. But adding all of that up, it's almost 3 hours, right? Because I have a workout in there. I have showering and getting ready and all that kind of stuff. So that's just an example of my morning ritual. But I actually have a little surprise for you all, and I am going to, I've created a little checklist for y'all. I'm going to show it to you in a minute on my computer. But if you all want to decide on which ritual that you want to do, and I have a little checklist where you can list your activity and list the allotted time, and then just you know, check it off every day, right? So I know y'all love a worksheet or love a little, you know, a little one sheet thing. So, but let me explain the rest of these rituals. So obviously the evening ritual is what happens, you know, you could start at dinner and after, right? It's totally flexible for you. Mine is really basically when I'm getting ready for bed, this is what I do. And it is it's about a 20-minute process, because actually it starts with cleaning the kitchen. That's something that, and this is all stuff I'm working on, y'all. This is not stuff I'm perfect at, but it starts with like cleaning the kitchen after dinner, setting up my coffee for the next day, you know, putting my phone on the charger, making sure my workout clothes are, you know, in the bathroom and ready to go. And then, of course, like brushing my teeth, taking my contacts out, getting my pajamas on, all that kind of stuff, right? So that's my evening ritual. And then here's the other two that y'all may not have heard about. It's the workday startup ritual and the workday shutdown ritual. And this was something that was just brand new to me and has kind of like blown my mind, because, you know, there's all these little things at work that, you know, we need to do, or we, you know, want to do every day on a regular basis, but we just get to work and we kind of hit the ground running and it never happens. And so if we dedicate time to a workday startup ritual, like, okay, I'm going to come into work and I'm not doing anything else until I check all my boxes off for the workday startup ritual. And so I'll give y'all a couple of examples, what I have on mine. Like, you know, it's like check your email. You know, check, for me, it's check our Slack channel, like our messaging channel. You know, just check things, right? Check the calendar and make sure, like, check my schedule and make sure that it's, you know, in line for the day and all that kind of stuff. Just anything that you need to do to kind of get you set up for a really good day. And it also could be something that maybe you do, like if you have your planner in the car, you could just sit for like 2 minutes in the car when you get to work and get it done, right? Before you even go into work. Because some of y'all, I know you go into work and you just got people in your face immediately. So, and then the workday shutdown ritual is the same thing, where it's just like, okay, what do you need to do at the end of the day to, you know, to get you set up for the next day? And the biggest one for me is that I set my schedule and time block my day for the next day, you know, at the end of the previous day. That's, I mean, again, and I don't do it perfectly. I don't do it every day, but when I do it, oh my gosh, I'm able to, like, when my head hits the pillow that night, it's like, okay, I know what I'm doing the next day. It's not, you know, swirling around in my head what's going on and, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. So, yeah. And so it's just so been so helpful. Let me see if there's anything else that I include. Of course, checking email, stuff like that, right? Just checking any kind of like thing that you need to check just one more time before you leave the office or before you finish working for the day. So those are the rituals. And like I said, I'll show y'all in a minute kind of what I'm going to give y'all for a little little worksheet. So, okay, that's it. Let me go ahead and show you. I will come out of here. Let me make sure. Let's see. Cover. I think I talked about everything. I did mention, I just wanted to give y'all the resources that that I used just to, you know, if y'all are interested in this in terms of the concept of automaticity, that was in Brightline Eating and also in Atomic Habits. And then also Michael Hyatt, if you go to michaelhyatt.com, that's where I got this planner. He also has a course called Free to Focus. And that is the course or the program that Corinne and I went to sometime last year. It's probably been a little over a year ago. But it's also an online course that you can purchase. And it's all about kind of how to organize your day, how to delegate your work, all kinds of different things to really help you in your efficiency at work. And so you can find out more about that course. And actually, there's also a book called Free to Focus that he has written that has all that information in there. And then, like I said, this is the full focus planner. And, you know, just go to michaelhyatt.com and, I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, none of us are getting anything for any of this stuff that we use, but it's just, you know, you just want to see what might work for you. And so, but it works for me, but again, other folks use other things, but you just want to find something that you're committed to using for at least for a little while. And then you can always move on to something else. But yeah, these rituals are something that just really, made my day so much clearer. It's just when I was able to knock out all those things in the morning at one time, it just, you know, it really, you realize that, you know, you like, okay, I've got my day set up for success already, right? Go me. So, okay, let's get out of here. And I will, let's see, stop sharing. There we go. Are we back? Let me pull something. Let me see if I can pull up the worksheet, and I'll show it to y'all for a second. It's real simple, but there it is. Okay. And then I'll answer any questions y'all have. Y'all see the worksheet here? It's called the Ritual Checklist. And I have a blank right here because you can, you know, you can put in morning, evening, workday, startup, workday, shutdown checklist, you know, ritual checklist. And then it's just a list of your activities and then the allotted time that that it takes, right? You can always add additional. Maybe I'll adjust this, y'all, and just go ahead and fill up the whole page with check boxes. And then, and then you can just print one out for each ritual that you want to do. But definitely I recommend that you you just start with one ritual. Probably the morning ritual is what I recommend. If you don't have any at this point, just start with the morning and start really simply, y'all. Start with like one or two things. I mean, just start with getting up, going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, and, you know, making your coffee or whatever it is, right? Just get some wins under your belt before you make a big, huge list that maybe isn't totally realistic for you right now, right? Okay. So that's what the worksheet looks like. Let me close. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. So we're back now. I look a little blurry for some reason, but maybe it's because the sun's going down. All right. Michelle has a question here in the Q&A box. How long do you block for beginning and end of your workday to do those things? Okay. So let me just add them up here real quick. The workday start up ritual. I've got 48 minutes, right? Because I allowed 10 minutes for Slack, 10 minutes for Help Scout, which is our email program, 10 minutes for regular email, 5 minutes for checking my planner to, you know, make sure I've got what I want in there for the day. 5 minutes for Asana, which is another program we use, like a project management system. 3 minutes to check my calendar. So yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's totally up to you in terms of how many activities you want to plan for the day and, you know, how much time, right? How much time you have in the morning. I mean, it's just all those factors are at play. But again, just start with like a couple of things. Like, I'm just going to look at my email for 5 minutes and I'm going to check my voicemail messages for 5 minutes or something like that in the morning. Just start small, y'all. Don't make a huge long list at first. Just, again, get some wins under your belt. All right, let's see. I know there's some other, there's another question, Q&A. Do you ever feel too constrained by the rituals and checklist, or does having them and following them and then becoming a habit actually feel comforting? Absolutely. Absolutely, Christy. Yes. At first, it's definitely going to feel a little constraining, though. It's going to feel a little, you know, you're going to have some resistance to it, right? Just like you had resistance, just like, you know, we all have resistance to doing a 20, you know, to doing a 24-hour plan sometimes. I mean, there are just times when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to do it. But just like with the 24-hour plan, this is important to me. I've decided, you know, again, it's all about getting your mind right around it. This is important to me. So I'm going to do it when I don't feel like it. Of course, I'm not going to feel like it sometimes, right? And of course, I'm going to feel constrained. I'm going to feel like, you know, I just want to do what I want to do, right? I say that to myself all the time. And then I'm like, no, I'm getting to work, right? That's just my toddler brain wanting to throw a fit. So yeah, but over time, as you start to get the results that you want, just like with weight loss, it's like, you know what? I think I'm going to keep doing this. This is really working for me. And you start to feel, yes, you start to feel comforted by your rituals. You start to feel comforted by, you know, because, and it's, but it's not that, you know, it's not the rituals that are creating the comfort, right? It's the thought about it. It's like, this is working. I'm doing something that's important to me. I'm doing something. I'm in control here. That's what's creating the comfort. It's the thoughts, right? So, okay. If it becomes automatic, how do you keep it intentional? Ooh, Trish. I think that it kind of starts out as intentional, right? I mean, I think what I'm saying is, you know, what I was saying was like, especially at first, there are going to be times. Well, and here's the other thing. It's not ever going to be totally automatic, right? And so you're always going to have to be at least a little intentional. But at first, you're going to have to be way more intentional, right? Because your brain is going to throw up roadblocks left and right. It's going to say, no, we don't want to do anything new. We don't want to do this. We want to just do what we've always done. So that's when the intentionality really has to be strong. But then over time, as you develop it as a habit, as it just keeps getting easier and easier and you start getting results, again, it's still going to have to be intentional. It's going to have to be something that you consciously choose. But it's just going to become more, it's like I was saying, it's going to become more uncomfortable when you don't do it, right? But you're still always in control, just like you're always in control of, you know, how many Oreos you put in your mouth. You know, none of us are robots, right? It's never going to be like a robot situation, but it's just a matter of being more intentional at first to really get it cemented in as a ritual. Okay, let me look here back at the comments. I loved what y'all were talking about, like kind of how you think about rituals. Let's see. Someone said, I'm starting a second work from home job next Monday, so keeping both of my jobs and roles on track will be critical. This startup and shutdown ritual checklist will be perfect for me. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, just go ahead and start, you know, start off well with your new job, right? Yeah, and kids, y'all know this is so great for kids, all of this stuff, right? Having kids on routines is so good for them. So Deborah says one of the best things about having a morning ritual is that you do all the things and can actually leave your house on time instead of rushing around and racing out the door, even with kids. Once you have your own routine down, you almost automatically start creating, a morning routine for your kids, right? Because you realize how beneficial it is for you. And then, you know, all of us crave routine. We crave, doing the same thing. And kids are no different, right? And it's great to start them off early with routines. And then, you know, they can continue them on for the rest of their lives. And you definitely want to review them over time. Like if you have things on your list that you find that you don't need to do every day or you don't need to do kind of ritualistically, that it's something that you just maybe need to put on your calendar a couple of days a week. Or you could also have different things on your ritual list for different days too, right? I'm starting to kind of get my calendar in place where I only have client calls on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, like private coaching client calls. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do other things on those days. And so it's all about just step by step kind of figuring it out as you go along and up leveling things over time. Let's see. Yeah, and Lisa was saying, when you start the ritual, you've got to be more intentional. And then over time, it becomes more and more automatic. But again, there's always a little bit of intentionality that's required and a little bit of, kind of consciousness that's required. I mean, you still have to, if you think about brushing your teeth, right? It's just not like your hand may automatically, reach for the toothbrush in the mornings for the most part, but still there's a little bit of choice that has to happen there. And that's when I realize, I didn't brush my teeth or something, that reminds me, I need to be more intentional, right? Because I think something has become automatic. And then when it doesn't happen for whatever reason, I just get really curious about it and say, what happened there? And, I need to just be a little bit more intentional next time where I go to the bathroom, I brush my teeth, and then I go make my coffee. And so it's just about kind of living and learning there. All right. Anything else, y'all? This was great. Are there any other questions? Nope. I don't see any. Like I said, I will post that, the link to this worksheet, to the little checklist in the course. And then also, I'll go ahead and put it in the Facebook page too. I think I can put it in the files of the Facebook page, but also on the Queen's Club page. Thank you, Deborah. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I love that. Sonia said, my daughter and I started going out barefoot in the grass in our backyard for just a few minutes to breathe and be grateful. How awesome is that, y'all? That reminds me of Corinne talking about forest bathing. Y'all know that story. Oh, and Kristen said, that's called grounding. That's a thing. I love that. Yeah, it's probably similar, like forest bathing. We were actually at a camp, I think, and we were coming up with different ideas for self-care, and someone said forest bathing. And Corinne read that, and she pictured, like getting naked and going out and, sitting in a bathtub or something in the middle of the forest. When it's actually what you're talking about. It's about getting out in nature and just kind of bathing yourself in nature and stuff like that. So it sounds like it's called grounding or earthing. I love it. I love it. Because, y'all, nature is just something that, I don't know, I know I take it for granted a lot of times. And then this afternoon, I took a break from work and I went out and just sat back on my patio and just watched the world go by for a little while. And it was hot. But it was just good to kind of be outside and feel the breeze and breathe in the fresh air. So thank you, Rebecca. I love the bangs too. They're getting a little long, but I don't know. I'm going to kind of let them grow a little bit, maybe kind of swoosh them over to the side and see what happens. But yeah, I'm loving it too. And I usually have my new glasses on, but I had my contacts in today. So yes, love it. Nature is awesome. All right, y'all. Anything else? We've got a few more minutes. If anybody has any other questions about time or anything else. If not, we will get out of here and I'll go go have my dinner. So, all right, y'all. I think that's all we got. I will have this up and y'all can rewatch it or whatever. And then I will get the worksheet up too as well. So y'all have a great rest of your evening and I will talk to y'all again soon. I think next month, actually, y'all are getting the sneak peek. I think next month you're going to have Corinne for your masterclass. I think she's going to do, don't quote me on this because things change. But I think she may be on here next month for the masterclass, just asking y'all questions about weight loss maintenance and just, you know, what y'all want to know when you get into maintenance and things like that, because we're working on that area of PNP. So be sure and mark your calendar for that. And y'all know that next month we're just going to be covering the basics with the new members that come in. And so, September is going to be all about the basics and, the four basics. So love it. Love getting back to basics every once in a while. All right. So glad it was helpful for so many of y'all. Okay. Take care. Bye.